the worship, you did come to worship. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God is awesome. You know, I'm going to do part two to F-bomb today. It won't be quite as in your face today because you're already expecting now. You've already had F-bomb thrown in your face, and so it won't be quite as crazy. Get your Bible out. Children's Church. You keep it. You got it. You can keep it. See, put it right there. We'll share it as I'm coming down. That'll be all right. All right. Now, I don't know if y'all remember this. This is an oldie but goldie, but I was thinking about this thing about forgiveness and how sometimes we like more to speak before we think. How many here has ever spoke before you thought? How many has ever had your brain would be what you would call in park and your mouth would be in high gear? Anybody ever done that? There's also, they have a medical term for that. It's called constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. Anybody ever heard of that one? This is an oldie but a goldie because I thought about it so strong I said I got to do it again. A fly was buzzing around one morning when he saw a lawnmower someone had left out on the front yard. So he flew over and sat on the handle, watching the children going down the sidewalk on their way to school. Isn't that beautiful? Didn't the flies did that, did you? Well, little boy tripped on a crack and fell and spilled his lunch on the sidewalk. He picked himself up, put his lunch pack back in his bag and went on, but he missed a little piece of bologna. The fly had not eaten that morning. He sure was hungry, so he flew down and started eating the bologna. In fact, he ate so much that he could not fly, so he waddled across the sidewalk. So I ain't homecoming, don't it? He waddled across the sidewalk, across the lawn, up the wheel of the lawnmower, up the handle, and there he sat resting, watching the children. There was still some bologna lying on the sidewalk, so he was really stuffed, but the bologna sure did look good. So finally the temptation got the best of him, and he jumped off the handle of the lawnmower to fly over to the bologna. But alas, he was too full, and he went splat! So I go splat. Killing him instantly. The moral of the story is don't fly off the handle when you're full of bologna. Yeah, amen. Praise God. God's good. God is so, so good. Yeah. Yeah, she saw a longhorn. That's right. She said, you got to be careful too. I was told early in the preaching not to preach a longhorn sermon. You know what a longhorn sermon is? It's a point on each end and a lot of bull in between. Sister Dorothy is back with us. Amen. You got to go back, right? They ain't let you out yet. They got an ankle bracelet on you. Under a house arrest. Talk to us, Sister Dorothy. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back. And there are just a lot of things that I'd like to say, but I can't take that much time. But we thought we were all ready to come out. And do you know there's a special thing, the way you get out?
Yeah, and first you got to take that off. It's still hooked to your leg. Let's see. Okay.
We know that we go off. We open up this morning. They would come from the canary cage to let us out. But I'm here because of the Lord.
That's awesome.
And because of all of you. All of you have been so good to me. I mean, the Lord has been good. You all have been good.
Yes, yes.
Everything that you've done. DC, I couldn't be here without you.
DC said she needed her brakes fixed, so I carried it to DC's shop. And I said, I don't think it's tight enough. Travel one more time. He did it again. It threw me over the handlebars. I said, yep, that'll work.
So that's a special blessing for me to have that thing fixed.
Oh, yes.
And of course, there are so many blessings. My family, my church family, everybody's been so good. And I can never thank you all for that.
Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen, sister. All right. You want to say something? I thought about it. I come by Friday night and I saw somebody cutting the grass and I said, somebody's doing lawnmower therapy. I looked out there, it was Brother Billy. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, it's gonna be the choir. I don't know how they're gonna do it, but they got choir and mimes. So I'm not sure. They have to ask Marina or DC or Don or whoever, Patrick. He might know somebody that's Brother Keith. Somebody was in the practice knows what's going on. I just put it on all y'all. How about? Didn't you like the way I did that? I mean, I just took that and picked that right up and put it right over there. I mean, I threw it. You got about, how long is the service going to be? Well, it is Baptist, so probably about 10, 11 o'clock. I'm kidding. It won't be long. It won't be long. I was just kidding. Praise God. Oh, and next Sunday night, I forgot to announce it because actually it just slipped my mind totally. Y'all remember Steadfast, that awesome quartet with that good, I mean, awesome tenor that sings so good, came to homecoming? They said next time they're in the area, in this area, what they would tell me. And so they told Brother Jimmy, they're in this area next Sunday, so they're coming here next Sunday night. So Steadfast will be here next Sunday night, ministering in song too. So we got the Baptist choir here tonight. We got Steadfast next Sunday night. Please come. Yeah, if you haven't ever been to one of these things, you'll enjoy it. These guys are awesome. Amen. Get your Bible out. Turn to Luke chapter 23. God is awesome all the time. Last week we talked about the F-bomb, and we're going to continue the F-bomb. Y'all got to remember that one little word. What's that word y'all have to say? Let's try it. Here we're going to try it. When you see it, whenever you see it up there, you holler, bam. Now, so we'll try it though. One, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and y'all try it all together, and I want y'all to give a good old bam. Sister Dorothy weren't here last week, so she didn't hear it. So Sister Dorothy, we were saying bam all in the service, so you get to hear it. And you even get to participate. Ready? When you hear bam, when you see bam, here's what I want you to do. 1, 2, 3.
Bam!
All right, good. It's the F-bomb, forgiveness. It's being blown up, amen, and doing something great. Luke 23, verse 32. Everybody got your Bible? Turn there and stand for the reading of the Word. It is so wonderful to have Sister Dorothy and Brother Billy back with us today. It's awesome. Amen. I'm telling you, I remember when she first went in there, that she was walking kind of slow, and last time I went to see her, I had to chase her down. I mean, she's doing great. And it's awesome to be, and you don't care if we tell your age, right? We don't care if we tell your age, right? So you're 80? She'll be 88 in September, and I was chasing her down. And you're 80.
What I want to tell you was, about 6 or 7 years ago, I go to college and to see her, I had a signed right. Now I'm in the nursing home.
Still having to sign her out. Did you know that one of Brother Billy's professors at one time was Andy Griffith? Y'all know that? Really, weren't it? In literature, one of his literature, teaching English at UNC. Was it UNC? Okay, they wouldn't take him at Duke, but they took him at... I'm kidding. I'd like for Andy Griffith to be at Duke. I'm kidding about that. But he was one of his professors. Isn't that cool? I thought about it. That's awesome. You never know what's going on, what's going to happen with people. Linda said Barney taught at Duke. Ah, that was awesome. Okay, Luke 23:32. Linda, I got one thing to say. Bam! Okay. And there were also, verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And they come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, they said, and then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for that awesome spirit I feel in here today, God. And I believe, Lord, that people have been practicing, Lord, that F-bomb. And I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show us something special today, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to minister to us and through us. Let this day be all about you, Lord. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. Now, I'm going to go over just a few. I'm just going to do a few from last week so we can keep up what's going on. Plus, for those that weren't here last week, you'll know what's going on anyway. It's very important. This is probably one of the most crucial ideas that a Christian can have in their heart, and that is to know the power of forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a tool of Satan. How many knows that? Unforgiveness is a tool of Satan. It operates through the flesh, and it comes natural. Did you know that? We're fleshly beings, and Satan knows that. That's why it's important to learn the Word and learn what God was trying to teach us and tell us in this last day, because He knows that it's a tool of the flesh, and so He wants us to come up higher to a different level. Unforgiveness causes more destruction than all those other bombs that we talked about last week, and all the other tools of Satan. Satan uses unforgiveness as his chief pry bar to mess us up and to keep us at a disadvantage for God to use us. It's the single most popular poison that the enemy uses on us, and it causes everything from mental depression to health problems. Watch this now. The cure is greater than any of these weapons that we talked about last week and talking about today. And here it goes. Watch this. And that is forgiveness. 2,000 years ago, the F-bomb, forgiveness, was released. Matter of fact, when you see the F-bomb, it shatters Satan's plans, it binds his hands, it opens God's plans, it unbinds his hands, it sets us free, it breaks the yoke, and it sets a godly example. So think about this. If you can live in a state of forgiveness, wow. You know, there's two things that God would like for us to live in. That is a state of perpetual praise and a state of perpetual forgiveness. Amen? Forgiveness for ourselves through Him, and a state of forgiveness to others. Amen. It's kind of a double thing. It's a double whammy here. We have to ask God for forgiveness all the time. How many here has had to ask God for forgiveness lately? In the last week? In the last day? Since you've been here? Y'all put your hands down now, and please quit pointing at people. I'm telling you. I'm playing with you. Nobody pointed at it. Well, they did. I'm sorry. I said, please quit pointing. DC pointed right at Daniel. I can pick on them, amen. What was that saying? We brought them in this world, we can take them out, amen. So, okay, so here we go. Jesus, how many know Jesus could have called 10,000 angels? He could have cursed everybody around the cross. He actually could have killed everybody around the cross. But instead, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He lit that fuse to the F-bomb, and there's no other religion on this earth that talks about forgiveness. I told you last week, if you go in Pitt Detention Center, we go to the mosque around town and ask for Qurans. And we ask for the imams to come in, the preachers to come in and minister to their people. And they say, we're not going to do it. They don't belong in there. They shouldn't be in there. They're giving us a bad name. We're not bringing them Qurans. I've been doing this for 10 years. I've only delivered one. Wasn't even a complete Quran. It was a manual on the Quran. In 10 years, they said they're in there, let them get themselves out, and when they get out and they prove themselves, they can come back to us. Wow. Who wants to serve anything like that? Amen? Any kind of religion like that. But we talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness breaks every chain. It demolishes all these strongholds that unforgiveness has in our life, and it brings freedom whenever it is detonated. So here we go. I'm going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to see our buddy, my buddy Chef, come up here in just a minute, and then we're going to be bamming for the rest of the day, okay? Linda tickled me because that night after last week, Linda went home. Somebody stole one of her hubcaps. And to get a hubcap off her car, just like I saw the hubcap off of her car in the back, and I saw Sister Jeanette's hubcap off in the front. And so when I first saw them, I thought one of them had taken one off the other to replace their own. I didn't know, you know, had they been going out in the parking lot replacing each other's hubcap. I didn't know. But both of them missing the hubcap. And to get these hubcaps off, you have to have a lug nut. A lug wrench. So it's not just popping it off. You got to actually work at it. So Linda wrote on her Facebook page, "For the person that stole my hubcap, I hope you enjoy it." And then she wrote beside it, "Bam!" I thought that was so, so awesome. Okay, forgiveness means to release. To forgive is to let go and to cancel a debt. It's an act of the will. It is a two-step process. There's the immediate thing. When you say, "I forgive you," it comes from your mouth. Then there's the process where you actually have to go through something. You've got to go through the process of forgiveness. That might take a little bit longer. But when you do this, it models Christ. It works beyond reconciliation. I don't have to reconcile with you to forgive you. We talked about it last week. And it unleashes unlimited power. So let's look at Emerald. He'll tell us about the bomb. You got to start it yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Another notch! A little while. I'm inspired by.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Are you with me? Bam, 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 bam.
Another notch. Kick it up another notch. That's what God's calling us to do. He wants us, when Chef Emerald says take it up another notch, then he adds that special ingredient. He says, what's he say? Bam. Right. Forgiveness is that special ingredient. Forgiveness shatters Satan's plans, binds his hands, sets us free. It unbinds God's hands. And again, it sets a godly example. There you go. Did y'all see it? Do it.
Bam.
Oh, y'all almost sound enthused. Come on. Do it.
Bam.
Okay. Amen. Now we're going to talk about where the rubber meets the road. How do you light the fuse? You say, well, it's easy for you to say to forgive. You never had done to you what I had done unto me. Well, I really don't know what you've had done unto you, and you don't know what I've had done unto me. But I can tell you this, we know what Jesus had done unto him, and he forgave. Amen? So, number one, if you're going to light the fuse to the F-bomb, you have to have a positive attitude toward the offense rather than a negative attitude toward the offender. Oh, man, that's hard. Have a positive attitude toward the offense and refuse to have a negative attitude toward the offender. James 1, 2, and 4 says, "Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings endurance, steadfastness, and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing." Satan sends stuff your way to destroy you, but God allows it to develop you. Think about this now. Satan sends it to destroy you. God allows it to develop you. How many's ever had something in your life just pure out stink? It just stunk. Amen? I mean, it was bad. It just stunk. A couple weeks ago, I came home. I got out my car. And I said, something has died right here. So I looked around the car and I said, it's not here. So I walked over behind the house and I said, it stinks even worse than that. I walked to the front of the house. I walked in my daddy's yard. I walked over to my neighbors to make sure they hadn't killed somebody over there. I said, something pure stinks. Then I realized what was going on. I heard the tractor. They were fertilizing and preparing their ground to fix it, to plant it. And you know what they were putting down to make it ready? Manure. And I'm going to tell you what, it smelled so bad, I thought I was going to throw up. It smelled so bad. And then I thought about that thing. Everybody, one of us in our life, we have stinking stuff happen to us. But you know what? Without that manure, that ground would not be as fertile. Without that manure, some things wouldn't even grow like it should. Because God uses the dead and the stinky stuff to build up the ground in order that it can be awesome. And before they had all these fancy fertilizers developed over the years, back in the day, you know what they used? Manure. I had a World War II veteran tell me, he was a paratrooper. He had pneumonia. His name was Whitey. He lived next door to us. He said it was one time he was when they did D-Day, and they dropped him. He said they dropped the Rangers came up on the beach, and he said they dropped the paratroopers, and they were to fight their way together to meet each other, and they were going to take the land. And he said it was so cold he had pneumonia, and they wouldn't even let him stay in the hospital. They just put him in a little thing for a couple of days and said, "How you doing?" He said, "Better." He said, "Get up, get the gun." And they put him out there, and he said in the middle of the night he thought he was going to die trying to get back. It was so cold. And he said he saw a farmer's manure pile. And he said he crawled in the manure pile because it was warm. And he said it kept him from dying that night. Wow. That's what the farmers used back then. God uses stinky things in your life to develop you. Did you know that? Say, "God, I don't like this. It stinks." And God said, "Hold on. Wait till the scent dries up and see what a good thing it is." Amen? So now, number one, have a positive attitude toward the offense rather than a negative attitude toward the offender. Number two, seek to view the offender as an instrument in God, an instrument of God in our lives. Somebody laugh. Seek to view the offender as an instrument in God's hands. Why would God use that person? You tell me I'm getting something out of this as bad as it hurts? Let's just read a little bit. Joseph, he was in prison for 13 years. He was chained for 13 years. Yes, he had favor in prison, but the psalm said he was still chained. He was stuck in there. He couldn't get out. He had dreams that God was going to use him, and he's stuck in prison 13 years. And when he finally meets his brother, he said, "Don't be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you, to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." He says, what you considered or thought was bad, God used it for good. Let's watch this. Some of y'all, if you feel like you're right now, you might be in prison. You're locked up in your circumstances, you can't move. You feel like you're chained to what's going on. You're like anything in the world has some freedom, but you can't. You want to do something else, but you can't. You're just stuck. How many just been stuck before? Just stuck. I mean, I've been stuck a many a times. I don't like it. Watch this. Here we go. Even though Joseph had been tossed to the deepest of pits, he emerged with extraordinary forgiveness toward those who wronged him. How did he do it? Number one, watch this. Do not be distressed. Do not be angry. When you realize God and His sovereignty, how many say God's in control? When you realize that God's in control, He will bring good out of the wrongs done to you. Oh, come on, y'all. Somebody should have shouted then. Some of y'all been doing wrong. Some have been doing wrong bad. I'm going to tell you something. I was in my very first time I did a mass as a spiritual director. I'm sitting there and I see the pilgrims come in, and this one guy comes in. There was like 40 of them. I looked at this one guy and I said, "That guy looks familiar." I looked at one of the spiritual directors and says, "I can't place it, but that guy looks so familiar." And then it hit me. That was the head of a department. I won't tell where because then y'all know. But he was head of a state department, and an inspector came in the fountain. And when the inspector came in the fountain, I had just been given the environmental director's job. And so I told the inspector, who I couldn't even understand, he couldn't even speak English good. I told him, I said, if you'll give me a week, I'll have this stuff up. So I said, I just got the job 2 days ago. They knew all about it. They were already there checking on it. I said, if you just give me a week. And I said, hold on, but before you say yeah or no, I'm going to get the COO, Jack Clark. I said, let him hear it too. So me and Jack Clark sat there, and the man said, no problem. That's what you need. You do it. About a week later, we get a letter from this department, and they charged us $10,000. Because they said I stiff-armed their inspector. I hadn't stiff-armed him. I asked him, could he give me a week? He said, I'll give you a week. I asked him, and the CEO or COO heard it out of his mouth, and they said $10,000 fine. And so I went to his office many, many times. He fussed me, he cussed me. And the person that was helping me, he fussed us and he cussed us. And it took about 6 months to get out of that $10,000 fine. That was the guy that was at a mess. And I looked at him. And I said, I hope there's a baptism tonight. As y'all say, I'll hold him down to the bubble stop. And all I could think about was $10,000 fine, and I hadn't done anything wrong. I'd actually had done nothing wrong. $10,000 fine. And told us he was going to make it even higher if we didn't pay it. I saw him, and I looked at him, and I said, nope, I'm going to try this a different way. I looked right at him, but nobody around. I looked right at him, me and God. I said, God, I forgive him now. I forgive him. The next day he come up. He kept looking at me. He realized who I was. We had a prayer line. He come right in my prayer line. He come right up to me. He put his arms up and put his hands on my shoulders. And he said, will you please forgive me for how I treated you? He said, you didn't deserve that fine. He said, you were doing right. He said, I was just flexing my muscles. He said, will you please forgive me? And I said, I forgive you last night. It's gone. It's over. And we became the best of friends. And now I go out and eat with him. And we talk about God. You see, God will bring out good on the wrongs done to you. Number two, he said, God sent me. When you realize that God's in control, he will use you wherever you're placed for good. Again, you say, I'm stuck. God says, you're not stuck. You're right where I want you. Quit trying to wiggle out. I'm trying to use you. Would you please quit wiggling? I want to use you. You say, well, this is not exactly what I had planned. And God says, but it is what I got planned. And now let me help you. Let me let you bloom where you planted. All right, number three. He made me. Oh, there you go. Y'all almost did it. Good. Go ahead. Y'all scared me too because I didn't know it was coming up. I turned around and said, somebody hit me. When you realize that God is sovereign, you'll understand that he'll make every circumstance result in good. Every circumstance result in good. Amen? Remember this now. They meant it for evil, but he said, but God used it for good. Number three. How do you like that fuse? Recognize that maintaining hurt feelings is a form of being. Oh, here we go. Get ready, church. There you go. Get ready. Listen to me. Listen carefully. This right here is some awesome stuff. I have to try to live it myself, and sometimes I'm not too successful, and I have to sit back, and I have to think about it, and I have to, bam! Look, realize that maintaining hurt feelings is a form of vengeance. It's a form of getting back. How many know that? If I stay mad, then I am getting back at them, which I have no right to exercise this. So if I can maintain my hurt feelings, then I can kind of have control over a situation that's out of my control. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for that which is honest and proper and noble, aiming it to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. If possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God to do it. Let God handle it. Amen? For his wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, I will requite, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For by it, you will heap burning fires of coal upon his head. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome the matter of evil with good. Fires of coal on somebody's head. Do y'all know what that means? Fire, put fires of coal on somebody's head. There was a man and woman sitting in the counselor's office, and the woman's complaining about they argued all the time. And so the counselor told the wife, says, "Have you ever thought about heaping fires of coal on his head?" She said, "No, but I did try a frying pan with hot grease. It didn't work." When I do good to you, and God's working in this thing, when I do good to you after you've done bad to me, it begins to get to your conscience. When it gets to your conscience, that's that fire of coals on your head. It's burning your conscience. So instead of me giving back, instead, if I'm giving good, then you go, "Wait a minute, I've been too bad for them to do this to me." And because of that, you know, I remember this. There was somebody in my family years ago that got mad for no reason to me. I didn't understand it, but they were mad. One of them had gotten sick and they couldn't even buy groceries. I kept trying to help the relationship. It weren't helping. They were just mad at me. And so I said, "Lord," the Lord put it in my heart and said, "Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm planting a seed of faith, believing that you're going to take care of this." I went, and this was a long time ago, many, many, many years ago. I bought $100 worth of groceries, which was a lot of groceries back then. The other day I had $100 worth of groceries and carried them in one bag. But back then, that was a lot. I went and knocked on the door, and I said, "God, I'm doing this because I believe you instructed me to, and I'm going to do it out of love for you, and I'm going to just believe the seed's going to work." And I knocked on the door, and they opened the door and said, "Oh, it's you." And I said, "I got something for you." And they said, "What?" I said, "If you don't mind, I'm going to bring it in." They said, "Well, go ahead." And I started bringing in bag after bag after bag of groceries. I said, "I heard that things have been mighty tight for you. And I want to try to make a difference for you." And I said, "You ain't got to talk to me. I just got to drop this in. I'll be leaving after I drop it off." And I dropped off all those bags of groceries and it filled up the kitchen table. As I was walking in, I watched that face go from anger. It changed. By the time I brought in that last bag, I saw tears. I said, "Okay, I got to go now." And as I walked around, they grabbed me by the shoulder and said, "Please don't go. Sit down. Let's have some coffee." And I sat down with them, and as I sat down with them, they looked at me and said, "I'm so sorry. I've been mad at you for 6 months." And said, "Honestly, you're not the reason I was mad, and you're not the person I should have been mad at. But you were the safest one for me to be mad at. Will you please forgive me, and I won't do it again." And I said, "All is forgiven," and I hugged them, and I walked out. I said, "That seed was the fastest seed I ever seen come up." Do not repay evil for evil, but use good. Now, number four. Understand that the offender has already begun to receive the consequences of his offenses. Remember, God says, "Leave room for him." It says, "Leave room for him." Somebody say, "Leave room for God to work." Leave room for God to work. Say it again. Leave room for God to work. Amen? All right. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to give back to those troubling you trouble." Meaning God's watching, and God sees those that are troubling you. If they're troubling you and they're not, and there's no need of what they're doing, God's going to get back at them. He'll take care of it. What God wants you to do is this. Bam! Y'all try it again. 1, 2, 3. Bam! All right. Number five, we're almost through. There's only 75 of them. We're almost through. last week I said, "I'm getting ready to close," and Stephen said, "Bam!" I forgive you. I know you're not closing. I forgive you. No, there's only seven. Number five, how you like the fuse? Acknowledge the eternal consequences of maintaining an unforgiven response. And in his wrath, his master turned to him to torturers, of the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. So my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you who do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. To live with an unforgiving spirit will hinder you here spiritually, and it will hinder you in the hereafter. Here and in the hereafter. God wants us to forgive because that's what he did. I heard about a woman praying at the altar, and she said, Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand my man. I pray for love to forgive him. I pray for patience for his moods, because, Lord, if I pray for strength, I'll beat him to death. Amen. Bam! Help me out here. Number 6. We're almost through. He bammed it again. Realize that when we withhold forgiveness from someone, we run the risk of becoming just like them. Oh, come on. Yeah, I'm telling you, this here is tough, but it's good. All right. When we refuse to forgive someone, we run the risk of becoming just like them in attitude, if not in actions. Romans, let me get out here where I can see it good. Amen. Romans 2, 1 through 2. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are, who judges and condemns another. For imposing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censor and denounce. But we know that the judgment, adverse verdict, and sentence of God falls justly and in accordance with truth upon those who practice such things. In other words, he's saying is, you know, next time you're looking out the window at someone, try looking in the mirror first. Uh-oh. Instead of looking out the window and going, oh, yeah, look in the mirror first and then look out. And it's okay to be a fruit inspector. I can look at somebody that judging as far as me judging their fruit, I can judge their fruit, but I can't condemn them. That's God's job. Amen? And then the final one. Learn to welcome problems, trials, hardships, and difficulties as a normal part of Christian life. Did you know that's normal? If you're going through something today, it's normal. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials. It's something normal, something everybody goes through. Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah, that you may be able to rejoice with great joy in the revelation of His glory. You know, years ago, there was a man and his son, teenage son, that lived in Spain. Their relationship became strained and eventually shattered, and the son ran away from home. The father began a long journey in a search of the lost and rebellious son, finally putting an ad in the Madrid newspaper, true story. He put an ad in the Madrid newspaper as a last resort. His name was Paco, his son. A very common name in Spain. The ad simply read, Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. The next day, in front of the newspaper at 12, there was 800 Pecos standing there. Wow. God's watching. God wants us to have a forgiving spirit. God wants us to understand what's going on in this life. Because watch this. Forgiveness, number one, forgiveness builds a wall. Unforgiveness builds a wall, but forgiveness builds a bridge. Unforgiveness gives your power away. Forgiveness takes it back. Now, what are you talking about? If you have unforgiveness towards someone, as soon as they mention their name, you can be having the best of days. If you've got unforgiveness towards someone, as soon as they mention their name, all of a sudden, you tense up. You can be talking so sweet, and there's all these people, I'm going to reach out and help them. You might even be in prison, ministering to the guys in prison. You minister to murderers and thieves and rapists and all those guys, and somebody mentions a guy that you haven't got unforgiveness for, and all of a sudden you're thinking, I wish he was here. Unforgiveness takes your power away. It takes your power to stand. It takes your power to understand. It takes your power to withstand away. But when you forgive someone, then you can stand and you can withstand and you can understand. I don't have to agree with everything anybody's done with me. I don't have to approve of things some people have done to me. What I do have to do is I've got to forgive them. God didn't say I had to understand it all. He didn't say I even had to reconcile with them. He said I had to forgive them. And when you forgive somebody, chains are broken. Your freedom's there. You get your power back. It changes our status from victim to victor. It changes our status from victim to victor. Do you know why a lot of times, you might not have ever heard this, so get ready. Do you know why a lot of times depression is? It is anger turned inward. If you can find out when somebody's depressed, if you can find out what they're angry about, you can help them bust that depression. What are they angry about? They're angry because they've lost a loved one. They're angry because they lost a job. They're angry because of whatever. And the anger turns inward. And then they begin to tear down their self. You think it's safe because now you're not hurting anybody else, not realizing that you're hurting yourself and everybody around you. There's any situations you have to find out what it is that's got you so angry and learn to forgive. When I'm counseling, I found two things that people are really angry about. And I've seen it for 20 years. They're angry when a loved one dies. They're angry at the loved one for leaving them there. Even if they couldn't help it, they're still angry for the situation. And number two, and they're scared to say it, they're angry at God. They won't speak it out. I'll speak it out for them and they'll go, well, you know. And I go, go ahead and admit it. You're angry with God. He's a big man. He's God. He can handle it. God can handle it. It's okay to be angry at God because He gets angry at you and me. If we can learn the power of forgiveness, wow. We serve a merciful and gracious God, and He expects the same thing from us. I know this was, I told you this one would be a little down from what it was last week. Last week was, wow, this has been kind of a little low. I left you with this last week, and I'll leave with it this week. Whoever opts for revenge should dig two graves, Chinese proverb. Number two. Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison, then waiting for the rat to die. I won't forgive them. They've been too bad to me. I won't forgive them. Who would think they are what they did? I'll never forgive them. When I hear somebody say, I'll never forgive them, it always does something inside of me. Because I think, oh no, you just sentenced yourself to a life of wrath. I can never forgive them. Remember, I don't have to reconcile with them. They may be dead. They may have moved to another state. They may not want to talk to me, but I can still forgive them. And when I forgive them, wow, it's amazing. Get ready. Our favorite one. Get ready. One, two, three. Light that fuse. Come on up here. Come on up here, guys. Play something. Play something. My wife and I have started praying the Lord's Prayer every day, and it's been awesome, absolutely awesome. It's not just a set of words. It helps me. I think about it. It's just awesome. And I'm thinking about next week, maybe even preaching on it, the Lord's Prayer. But I want us to do it together. Actually, it's called the Model Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17, where the Lord's praying for His disciples. It's the Model Prayer. But I want us all to pray it together right now. And then if you got something you got a need in your life, I want you to come on up to this altar. Ready? Let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. I thank God that He's used people as sandpaper in my life. He's used people as tools in my life. He's used people that helped me get to different heights and different levels that I couldn't do by myself. I've had some awesome mentors. Awesome mentors. And when I think about them, it's just amazing what I've learned from my mentors. One of the hardest things to do is to thank God for the people that hurt me, because they taught me something too. If nothing else, they taught me how not to treat people. Because once you've been hurt, you understand what you're doing. If you're doing something that's going to hurt somebody else, you've had that feeling, and you won't do it to them. Right now, everybody that will. Matter of fact, I want you to come for any reason that you want to pray. But if there's somebody in your life that you need to forgive. And we're all family, we're all friends, we're not going to be sitting back pointing fingers at each other. If there's somebody in your life you need to forgive, come on up here. Ask God to help you. If you need to forgive yourself, come on up here. If you need God to forgive you for something, come on up here. Come on, let's do it. Stand strong, be proud to stand up and say, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to live in this torture. I'm not going to live in this pain. I'm going to give it to God, all that will. Come on. Come on. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I want freedom. I need freedom. I'm not living this way anymore. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live this way. Come on up here, church. All that will, come. This isn't a time to be worried if you're going to be embarrassed. This isn't nothing embarrassing about this. Nothing. This is, I want freedom. I want freedom. I want freedom. I need freedom. I need freedom in my life. Trust Him. 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 Remember, depression many times is anger turned inward. God, I want freedom. I'm tired of being depressed. I want freedom. I'm tired of feeling this way. I want freedom. God, I need freedom. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I need freedom. I need freedom. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives. Sing it, church. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, a patient asked the dentist one time, said, how much will it cost to have this tooth extracted? The dentist said, $300. The man said, okay, just for a few minutes work, that's expensive. He said, okay, I'll pull it out slowly if you prefer. It's still going to cost $300. Well, do you know, sometimes we don't want to forgive because we think that by holding that unforgiveness, we're kind of getting back at them. We're not getting back at them. Matter of fact, a lot of people that you have unforgiveness toward don't even know you've got unforgiveness toward them. I have people come to me and I find out I've done something that hurt them years ago and I had no idea. I walked into Starbucks one day in New Bern, and a young man had been making me Starbucks for a couple of months. He looked at me and said, I said, you're looking good today, bro. What's up? And he said, he was looking kind of down. And then out of clear blue sky, he says, you know, you really hurt me one day. I said, I've never seen you except for in Starbucks. He says, oh, no, you saw me. I said, well, if you don't mind, tell me, because if you'll tell me, I'll make it right. He said, I went to a fountain race last year. I said, I remember that. And he said, I was out getting autographs. I said, oh, yeah, I remember. He said, I went up to you and asked for your autograph and said, you were standing by Reggie. And you said, you don't want my autograph. I'm a peon. Here's the man you want. And you handed me over to Reggie. And he said, no, I wanted yours. I said, I was doing safety and environmental. I weren't racing. He said, I know, but I wanted your autograph. He said, I just thought it was awesome. And I said, you know what? Please forgive me. I had no idea. I said, but I tell you what, next time I see you, I will make it up to you. He said, how are you going to do that? I said, just wait. The next time I came in, I had a vintage fountain shirt. His size. I walked into Starbucks or the Target, and I had it in my arm. I said, I have a Starbucks again. He said, okay. And I said, remember I told you I was going to make it up to you? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, just do it. And I held that two-tone fountain shirt, and his eyes got. Not only did it make up for it, I never paid for another Starbucks as long as he worked there. He'd see me coming in. He knew I liked Kimono Dragon, the toughest thing they had. He'd make me a special Kimono Dragon every time. A special big old thing. He said, here's your coffee, sir. There's people you've hurt that you don't even know you've hurt. And there's people that's hurt you that they don't know they've hurt you. So why don't you just forgive them? Just forgive them. It's a whole lot better than walk around with those chains. Here's what we're going to do right now. Y'all repeat after me and then we're closing. All right? Ready? Y'all repeat after me, everybody. Lord, you are Lord and Master. You have shown me by your own life how to live. You showed me that I need to forgive my worst enemies. Lord, right now. First, I ask you to forgive me for having unforgiveness in my heart. And number two, help me to forgive that person that I have unforgiveness in my heart toward. And Lord, I ask you to help me forgive myself. Because that's the toughest one to forgive. And Lord, I thank you for the freedom that I just received. Because I know some of these folks don't even know they hurt me. And I know that I've hurt others and don't even know it. I give and I accept forgiveness. And I accept freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's awesome. Better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. I don't want unforgiveness to keep me from that one day in His courts. Amen. Amen. Because that one day is going to be a long day. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Brother Billy, you just missed us in prayer. There's your microphone.
I care none with it.
Come on. Oh, we got prayer first.
Heavenly Father, we just come to rejoice in such an opportunity we had this morning to be in your house, Lord. Ask your blessing upon each and every one that's here, that you're ministering to their needs, Lord. But as we leave here and go into that field, Lord, that you have called us all to go be service for you, let us not